Good morning. Can you guys tell me what this is? It is. It's a map. Yeah. And I have, it's a map on my phone. Yes, it is. And I've become extremely relying. I rely a lot on Google Maps. In fact, so much so that the other day I was thinking about it, and I go, I don't know how I used to find any place anywhere. Like, now I'm like, okay, how do I get to the gas station on the corner? Maybe not quite that bad, but I use Google Maps to find everywhere. Last night I was downtown, and the only thing it couldn't do for me was find a parking place. But I think they have apps for that now too. So, I use this, and I can put in the directions. If I type in here home, and it shows me how to get home from here, anywhere, and I can be anywhere, and I can put in home, and it'll take me back home. And the cool thing about this is, last night we were downtown, and we put in home because we kind of got turned around where we were, and we're driving, and Corey was driving. And it said to turn right at the next right, and she totally just missed it. And so then it just immediately redid it and said, okay, take the next right, which she also missed that one too. And so we went down to the stop sign, took that right, and it got us back home. So no matter how many turns we missed or how lost we got, this could get us back home, thankfully. Which works when you are in the city and you have a good signal. I found out if you get in the country and the signal goes out, you're just lost. You should have an idea of where you're going if you're going out where there's not going to be a signal. So the cool thing about this is, and you're going, is he going to bring this back around? The cool thing about this is no matter how many wrong turns you make, it'll always recalculate and get you back. In fact, back in the day, I don't remember how many of you guys remember when you had a GPS and you didn't follow it, it would get mad at you and say in a rude voice, recalculating, right? Recalculating. They took that off, I think, because people got mad at him. And so it doesn't say that anymore. It just does it, right? It doesn't sit there and yell at you for missing your turn. A lot of people don't realize that that's kind of the way God does with us. You know, a lot of times when we're in life, people want to know, what's God's will for me? How do I figure it out? How do I figure out where to go? What decisions to make? You know, I got big decisions, choices to make, and how do I know where to go? And the thing is, as long as you're following God, if you make a wrong turn, he has ways of getting you back where he wants you to be. And as long as you're following him and you're listening to him. And the thing is, what do you listen to? How do you know what to do? Our verse today, Ephesians 5, 15 through 17, is, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. How do we find out what the Lord wants us to do? Do anybody know? Do we guess? Do we toss a coin and say, yeah, I got to figure this one out? No, the big way that we figure out what God wants us to do is we read. I was going to hold up my phone because my Bible's on my phone too. We read the Bible. One of the things I tell my junior and senior hires, and if you when you get up there, you'll hear it from me a lot, is God's word is God's will. God's will is God's word. And when you read it, he'll keep you on the right path to get home. All right? And if you might make a wrong turn here or there, but he's going to say, you know what? Take that next right turn, and I can still get you home. All right?
Thank you, brother. Morning.
It's good to see everybody here this morning. It's kind of interesting, as Jay was up here and he was talking about the book of Ecclesiastes. I taught that study way back when, many years ago, back in Texas, in Bowie, Texas. I was teaching the book of Ecclesiastes, and we were reading about what Solomon said, that there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing's new under the sun. We were talking about that. But we had one man in my class. His name was Joe Dunn. And Joe Dunn is a true cowboy. I mean, he was a Texas cattle inspector, okay? So he was a true cowboy. And so he said in his, cowboy lingo, kind of had this puzzling look on his face. And I said, Joe, I know you got something on your mind. And said, well, you said there's nothing new under the sun? I said, no, that's what the Bible says. He says, that can't be true. I said, why do you say that? He said, because now they make flip-top toothpaste. So I think he kind of misunderstood what we were talking about that day. We are continuing our series of lessons here, actually concluding this series of lessons today. The Bible doesn't say that. And so I want us to look at that passage once again from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. And listen to the Apostle Paul. Reading from the NIV, Paul said, I want you to be very careful then. So, he tells us that we are to be careful how you live your life. And so we make decisions here, don't we? And the way we live our life. He said, I want you to be careful then how you live your life, not as unwise, but as wise. Don't be foolish. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. It's important that we understand what the Lord's will is. Today we conclude this series of lessons. Thus far, we have studied four popular sayings that many believe are found in the Bible, but are not. The first one we studied was that God wants me to be happy. Okay, you can go back and listen to all of these on our webpage, on our website, the Garfield website, and Sermon Archive. The second one was that God will not give you more than you can handle, and we studied what that meant. The third one was, do not judge. Yes, the Bible does have those words, do not judge, but we talked about what in the context and what Jesus was teaching regarding that when he says, do not judge. He does not say, do not judge, period. We learned about that. Last week we talked about forgive and forget is not found in the Bible. And the final saying that we're studying today is everything that happens is God's will. Okay? Everything that happens is God's will. Now, we Christians use the phrase, this is the will of God, quite regularly, don't we? We use this phrase. Bring up that next slide. In fact, we consign the will of God to all the good things that occur in the world around us and to all the bad things that happen to us in the world. People will say that's the will of God. Now, so I want us to kind of just delve into that thought for just one moment here. That we say that all the good thing that happens is God's will, all the bad things that happens is God's will. So if you get a promotion at work, then it's the will of God. If you lose your job, then it's the will of God. If you move into a new house, it's the will of God. If your new house burns down, then it's the will of God. If your COVID-19 test comes back negative, it's the will of God. If you get coronavirus, it is the will of God. I have read all sorts of things about President Trump this week about what is and is not the will of God. But we got to understand that in this passage we just read, Paul is urging the Christians at Ephesus to watch how they live their lives and to understand what the will of God is. Because I believe that misunderstanding the will of God can produce frustration, can produce doubt, confusion, and even bitterness toward our Heavenly Father. Because if it is true that whatever happens is the Lord's will, is that really true? If it is, then friends, God is responsible for some of the vilest of atrocities that we have seen in our lifetime and since the world began. On September 11, 2001, after America was attacked by Islamist terrorists, killing over 3,000 people, I and other volunteer hospital chaplains were called into Hardin Memorial Hospital in Elizabethtown, Kentucky, to counsel and pray with the hospital staff, with patients, and with visitors. And we all met in the cafeteria on that day, after that morning with those horrific events that occurred. On that afternoon, we were in the hospital, cafeteria, and we were there again to pray with others and to counsel with others and so forth. As the head chaplain, a naval chaplain reservist, was speaking and reading scriptures, I sat down among the hospital staff, and I then overheard two nurses share their shock and dismay, which we all shared that day, but shared their shock and dismay over what had happened. And then one nurse said to the other, "I guess that we have to accept this as the will of God." I mean, was it really the will of God that 3,000 innocent people die by Muslim extremists? Or maybe it wasn't God's will at all, the will of Osama bin Laden to attack America. The misunderstanding of what is and what is not God's will has caused many people, I believe, to turn away from God. They just turn away from Him. And this is exactly what Satan, the one who is indeed responsible for all the heartache in the world, wants people to believe. And although I can't even begin to understand nor explain all the workings of God, in my study, however, there have been at least three components that I have learned about the will of God and what the will of God is that I want you to consider this morning, okay? Three components. Number one is the intentional will of God. Say that with me. The intentional will of God. This is the way that God relates to His plan for mankind, okay? For God's plan for mankind. Because what God has planned for man is not necessarily what has been or will be accomplished. Let's take a look at this next slide, if you will, please. Marilyn, bring that up, if you will, please. Because what I want you to look at, I want you to look at God's intention of will, and I want you to look at what God intended and what the reality is. Okay? First of all, God wants people to live in peace and harmony. He says that in 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. That God wants us to live in peace and harmony. And yet Jesus tells us in Matthew 24, verse 6, that there will always be wars. Always. God wants peace and harmony. The reality is there will always be wars. Secondly, Jesus said that we are to be perfect as God is perfect in Matthew 5, verse 47. Did you realize that? That God wants us to be perfect? He does. I mean, this is what God intended man to be when He placed Adam and Eve in the garden, and yet they sinned. But yet Paul reminds us what the reality is in Romans 3, verse 23, when he says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Number three, Paul said in 1 Timothy 2, 3 through 4, that God desires, He wills that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's God's will, that all men be saved. But friends, is that going to happen? Nope, it is not going to happen. In fact, Jesus tells us in Matthew 7, verse 13, that the majority of people are entering the wide gate that leads to destruction, the Bible tells us. So God's will, however, when we talk about God's will does not interfere with the decisions of man. Do you believe that? God's will does not interfere with the decisions of man. God's intentional will pertains to all the good, to all the good in the world. I mean, everything that is good and right and proper is the way that God intended it. After God created the world and everything therein, Moses wrote in Genesis 1:31 that God saw all that He had made, and it was what? Very good. I mean, can you just picture that? God created created everything that's in existence, and after man and woman were created, God looked at all of his creation and says, it is very good. That's what God intended. All of God's creation, man, woman, very good. And again, however, even though that is what God intended, sin entered the world and everything changed. I mean, did God will that sin enter the world? No. Did he allow it? Yes. Does he want it? No. That's not what he wants. But because of sin, that which was very good became very evil. So much so that God lamented that he even created man. I want you to turn your Bibles to Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 6, if you will, please. Genesis chapter 6, and I want us to look at verses 5 through 7. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. Listen what Moses writes here. He said, "The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. And the Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth, man and animals and creatures that move along the ground and the birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them," is what God says. He grieved that he had made mankind. So what God intended turned out to be totally different. Totally different. I mean, we're well aware of that. I mean, we're well aware of that. To what we intend to happen may not always turn out the way that we like. You know, I appreciate what Ben was talking about, the map and all those things there. So let's talk about that for a moment here, okay? You plan the greatest vacation ever, okay? You decide that you want to see America. You want to see America. And so you mark out your map and set your GPS and you make all the motel reservations. You know the places where you're going, the things you want to see. But 45 miles outside of Indianapolis, some drunk driver pulls out in front of you, totaling your car and putting your wife in the hospital. I mean, the will of another person changes your plans. It was not what you wanted. It was not what you willed. But the will of another person completely changes your plans. And even as what we will doesn't always turn out, it is also true of what God's will, what God wants, doesn't always turn out that way. So it brings me to my second point. My second point is the allowed will of God. Say this with me, the allowed will of God. Now this relates to the permission or the freedom of choice given to mankind when we talk about God's allowed will. I mean, God's intention is for mankind to live a life pleasing to him in all things. Do you agree with that? That's what God wants. He wants us to live a life that is pleasing to him. However, you and I, being free will agents, do not always do what pleases God. Am I right about that? We don't always do what pleases God. And so the allowed will of God enables us to be something other than robots. Something other than puppets on a string. I mean, God could have created us like that. He could have created us like puppets who have no will of our own. But instead, he created us in a way that we can make our own choices and decisions regarding the direction we want to travel. And in so doing, however, I mean, mankind has made some bad choices that has produced a multitude of problems. Again, do you agree with that? That's what we have done. And that's why we say that we now live in a fallen world. You see, things happen on this earth that God allows, but they are certainly not part of his plan. They were not what God intended. We used to live in Texas, as you know, and in October 1991, George Hennard Jr. drove his pickup truck through a cafeteria window in Killeen, Texas, and then started randomly shooting people while they were having lunch. And before putting the gun to himself, he killed 24 people and wounded 22 more. Being from Texas, we remember that quite well. Killeen, Texas is where Fort Hood is, by the way, in case you were wondering. But on an Oprah Winfrey episode a few months later, one of the survivors recalled the nightmare she went through. And I'm just going to read what she wrote, what she said. She said, a friend and I crawled under the table when we heard the shots and screams. We could see him walking slowly about, firing his gun at will. Coming closer to us, my friend and I clutched each other in fear. And after moving our table, he fired a bullet into my friend's head, looked at me, and walked away. She then concluded, I guess it was God's will that my friend die and I live. Now, I understand that sentiment. Okay? I understand that sentiment. But her friend was murdered. It is not God's will that anyone commits murder. His will is, do not murder, Romans 13, verse 9. That's God's will. It was not God's will that this man murder those 24 people. I mean, if your house is broken into and everything you own is stolen, don't say, well, it must be the will of God. God's will is, do not steal, Romans 13, verse 9. That's God's will. Now, I understand, we got to understand this very thing about this, because under the allowed will of God are man's will and the devil's will. Okay? So under God's allowed will is our freedom of choice, man's will, and the devil's will. God has allowed man to exercise his own will. Again, it is a great gift from God for us to be able to have be free will agents, for us to have free will. Amen? Do you agree with that? It is a great gift that God has given us. Again, he could have made us like robots, but he didn't. He gave us the ability to choose what we want. In fact, Joshua understood the free will of man when he told the Israelites as they entered the promised land in Joshua 24, verse 15, Joshua said, choose for yourselves whom you're going to serve. I mean, here they are getting ready to enter the promised land that Moses wanted to take them there, you know, before and wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And here they are finally able to enter the promised land. And Joshua tells the children of Israel, okay, you're going to go in the promised land. But he says, I want you to know, you're going to have a choice when you enter there. And your choice is you can either serve God or to serve these gods that the people of the land serve. But as for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen? That's what he says. We're going to serve the Lord. But again, it was their choice. I mean, we could either serve God or serve the world. We could either serve God or serve the devil. It is our choice. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 8, Paul speaks of men of depraved minds who oppose God's truth. We can oppose God's truth. I mean, man's will can actually alter God's will. Did you realize that? We can alter God's will. We've already seen examples of that. What God intends and wills for mankind doesn't mean that he will always do it or that man will always do it. In fact, often man does his own thing despite God's will for him. And that's true of us every single time we commit sin. It is true of us that we disobey the will of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, it says this. It says, Paul says, it is God's will that you should be sanctified, means to be set apart from the world, and it is God's will that you should avoid sexual immorality, any sexual relationship outside of marriage. But let me ask you, I wonder how many Christians have disobeyed that will of God. How many Christians have disobeyed that will of God? Can we disobey the will of God? Can we hear? Can we? Yes, we can. We can disobey the will of God. What God intends, man can decide to do something completely different. When we exercise our own will in direct conflict to the will of God, we are actually doing the will of the devil. That's who we're doing. What we're doing here. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 26, Paul speaks of some having been entrapped by the devil and held captive by him to do his, the devil's will. Do I have verse 24 on that? That should be verse 26, okay? Verse 26, chapter 2, verse 26. But he says here that there are those who are entrapped by the devil doing his will. Okay? Doing the devil's will. In John 13, verse 2, we read where the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus. I mean, the devil was behind Judas's betrayal. Okay? Behind his betrayal. But I want you to look at John chapter 8. Turn your Bible there. John chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 42 through 44. John chapter 8. Verses 42 through 44. Listen what Jesus is speaking actually to the Pharisees. Okay? To the Pharisees. And he says to them, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, talking to these Jewish leaders, if God were your father, you'd love me. But I don't think there's any love for Jesus, do you, for the Pharisees? But he says, if God was truly your father, as you say he is, if God was truly your father, then you would love me, for I came from God and now am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Why don't you understand? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desire, your father's will. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. It says here that he is the father of lies. Again, it wasn't... We got to understand what he's talking about here, this very thing, because... He says that you are doing your father, the devil's will. It was not God's will that George Hernard Jr. take the life of 24 people. It was not God's will for 3,000 innocent people to be murdered by terrorists. It is not God's will. Hernard and those responsible for the attack in New York City and the Pentagon were doing their father's will, the devil's will, who was a murderer from the beginning. They were doing the devil's will. Do you agree with that? That's what they were doing. Not God's will, but the devil's will. And even when it comes to suffering, illness, and death, friends, don't blame it on God. Don't blame God saying that it's His will. The troubles that Job went through, the death of his children and servants, the loss of his livestock, the destruction of his property, the infestation of boils all over his body. As you read the book of Job, who brought that upon him? Who brought it upon him? The devil. The devil brought it all upon him. They were allowed by God, but it was Satan doing the afflicting. Paul described his thorn in the flesh in 1 Corinthians 12, 5 through 7 as a physical infirmity. I believe it's a physical infirmity. He described that as a messenger of Satan. And he prayed three times for God to remove it, and God says, my grace will take care of you. Okay? But yet he says it is a messenger of Satan. And then in Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17, Jesus said it was Satan who caused a woman to be crippled for 18 years. Not God, but Satan that caused this woman to be crippled for 18 years. I mean, whenever we or loved ones are victims of gross wrongs or undergo severe pain and suffering or have undue burdens and hardships placed upon us, friends, let's not blame it all on God. Let's not blame God and doubt His love for us. Satan is the one at work. He's the one at work. He wants you to blame God and turn away from Him. I mean, and if he can get you to think that God is to blame for all your troubles, all your problems, then He has pulled the greatest deception known to man. He has pulled it off. Because the next time you undergo hardship, get angry with the devil, not your Heavenly Father. He is the one who is out to destroy us. He is our enemy. Amen? He is our enemy. All right. But then thirdly, we come to what is, I believe, is the ultimate will of God. Say that with me. The ultimate will of God. Now, the ultimate will of God relates to God's power. His power. And this does leave us with a perplexing problem. At least to us, anyway, with our finite minds. If the evil and troublesome deeds in this world are of the devil, and if God is all-powerful and all-loving, what is He doing about it? What is He doing about it? I mean, is God aware of what the devil is doing? Is He aware of it? Does He care? Can he do anything to stop it? Is he involved in any way? Well, there are at least three things that God is doing for us, okay? There are multiple more, okay? But I'm going to look at three of them. Three things that God is doing for us. Number one, God has placed limitations, restrictions on what Satan can do by way of tempting us. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Again, there's that passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, where it says here, Paul writes, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you're tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." So every time Satan tempts us, God says, God is filtering that. As we talked about a few weeks ago, every time that we are being tempted, God filters those temptations that come our way and allows only those to get through that we are able to bear. Amen? That's what God does for us. I mean, if God just stepped back and said, "Satan, have at him," we couldn't survive. We could not survive. But instead, God limits. And He limits those, and what temptations get through are those that God says, "Fred, you could handle that. You could handle that." In fact, James tells us the very same thing. In James chapter 4, verse 7, slightly different wording, he says, "Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." James says that God has given us the ability to resist the devil. Amen? We have that ability. But yet all of this is contingent upon our wanting to do God's will. I mean, the escape is always there. The only problem is that we don't always look for the way out. We don't. We don't always look for the way out. We give in. But yet that's our will, not God's will, okay? It's our will to give in, not God's will. But then secondly, God gives us endurance and strength in times of trials. I mean, God doesn't let you face trials alone. The psalmist writes this in Psalm 119, verses 67 and 71. He says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I obey your word. It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. The psalmist said, the affliction I went through doesn't come from God, but the affliction I went through. In fact, many times, we've got to understand this here, many times when we sin doesn't always, when we commit sin, it does not always turn out very good for us. Do you agree with that? I mean, there are consequences and things like this happens as a result of our sins, and it makes our lives much more miserable when we commit sin. Do you agree with that? Okay. So we got to understand here, he says, "Before I was afflicted, and I went astray, I turned away, but," he says, "but I'm glad that I was afflicted. It was good for me to be afflicted because," he said, "it turned me back to you. It turned me back to you. Again, Job 42. Even Job, although sorely afflicted by the devil, affirmed that what he went through was to his gain. It was to his gain. And Paul also affirmed that thorn in the flesh, given him by Satan, made him stronger with the Lord. He tells us in that familiar verse, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10. He says, "For Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I'm what? Then I am strong." I'm strong. God gives me the strength through it all. The death of loved ones, sickness and affliction, persecutions, hardships, whatever Satan used in attempt to destroy the psalmist, Job, and Paul, God allowed them to go through it all in order to make them stronger. And that's what God does for us today. It's just as true of all the trials that we face. In fact, we have that passage of Scripture in Romans 8, verse 28, that says God is able to cause good to come from the bad. Amen? We got to remember that, Romans 8, verse 28, that God is always able to cause good to come from the bad. And you've seen it. You've seen it in your own life. You've seen it. You've seen God working through some of your most difficult circumstances to not only get you through it, but actually helped you to become stronger as you went on the other side. But then number three, God extends hope if and when we surrender to the devil's will. Boy, don't forget this one. I want you to turn your book of John now. I want you to turn to Galatians real quickly, if you will, please. And I want us to look at Galatians chapter 1. And I'm going to read verses 3 through 5. Galatians 1, verses 3 through 5. Listen to Paul once again. He says, "Grace and peace to you from our God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of God, of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever." God has sent Jesus to rescue us from our own sins. From our sins. Because of the evil choices that we make. God has not left us alone. He sent Jesus to die for us. I mean, let's face it, brothers and sisters, we have all blown it, haven't we? We have all done some stupid, stupid things. I mean, we study God's Word and we know what His will is, but we have sinned against Him time and time again and will continue, sadly, but we will continue to sin against Him. But thank God that through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen? We are forgiven. Say that with me. We are forgiven. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, he said that God made Him, Jesus, who had no sin, to become sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus went to that cross sinless. But hanging upon that cross, He took our sins. He took our sins upon that cross so that through Him we can be forgiven. God allowed His Son to die on that cross. We are the sinners who deserve to die. We're the ones who deserve to die, but Jesus took our place. And that's why we need to be forever grateful for God's ultimate will. God's ultimate will is to save us from our sins. Amen? That's what God wants. That's His ultimate will for us. We have, it's impossible to fully understand everything there is to know about God and how He works. I kind of feel like Job, you know, who thought that he knew. You know, he thought that he knew, and then he says, you know, "I spoke of things that are just too wonderful for me to know." We just cannot explain it all. We can't. But the problem is we have been blaming God for what the devil has done. You know, when we say things like, "Everything that happens is God's will." God will allow Satan to tempt us and afflict us, and for that very reason we looked at. But even then, he does not leave us to battle Satan alone. There's that scripture, Romans 8, verse 31, that says, if God be for us, what? Who can be against us? Say this whole scripture for me. If God is for us, who can be against us? I mean, Satan hates those words. He hates those words because he knows with God on our side, there is nothing that he can do to defeat us. Afflict us, yes. But there is nothing that he can do to defeat us. Nothing. Never forget how much God loves you. Amen? Never forget. We're going to be singing the invitation song today. I have the band up here. We're going to extend the invitation. For those of you who want to come forward, you're welcome to do so today. We, as you know, of course, for the past months, several months, haven't extended that invitation in that sense, but today is that day we're going to be doing so. I appreciate the kind remarks and comments you've made regarding this series, and the Bible doesn't say that. And today's lesson, I know, is deep, and if you want to talk to me further about it, I'll be glad to sit down with you and talk to you some more about this and what is and what is not the will of God. As Ben said, just very simply, how do we know what God's will is? We study His Word. We read His Word. Whatever God says in His Word, that is His will for us. Okay? That is God's will. But because man has chose to follow his own will, as God has given him that freedom of choice, to choose the world over God is because of the reason that we face all these struggles today. And so if you're here today, if you want prayers from this congregation, we want to pray with you. If we can help you today in any way that maybe you're wanting to know what it is that you need to do to be in God's will, to know what you need to do to become a child of God, we want to do that, help you with that today. I mean, whatever it is that we can do, if you're looking for a church home, if you want to place your membership with us, we want that to happen today as well. We'd love to help you, have you do that. But whatever we can do today, if you come, it's together we stand and sing this song.